All right, Betty, you're up. What is it you do in that? You do so much, but what do you do on a daily basis almost for this ministry? And you have for years now.
Well, one of the things that I, the blessings that I get to do is to pray for those that need prayer, along with Pastor Jim Ellsworth and Shell. We get the opportunity to go to the throne of grace for people that need prayer. We ask that you send in your prayer request, no matter how big or how small, because God hears every one of them.
Amen.
And we type a prayer request, put it right under your request, and we send it out to the 45 to 50 of our prayer warriors who will take that need to the Lord. We will intercede. We will we will take that need to the Lord in prayer. And we also enjoy getting praise reports to let the prayer warriors know that God is answering prayer. And Pastor and Angel, he has to be extremely busy, because we're getting praise reports after praise reports of people who are being healed, who are being set free. And it's a miracle to be able to praise him and thank him for all that he's doing for us.
Well,
and
go ahead.
It's amazing. And we
it
need,
is.
If you have a prayer request, send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Yes.
If you want to be a part of the prayer team, send it. Say, hey, add me to the list. I would love to be able to pray and intercede with all of the people who are involved in this prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Good job. Great way to say it. And, you know, there's so many prayer requests and praise reports coming in. And Cindy Henderson, who's part of our radio team here, put something on Facebook this week. Do you want to tell us what she put, Betty? Do you remember?
You mean Cindy Logan?
Was it Cindy Logan? Oh, it was Cindy Logan. It wasn't Cindy Henderson.
Cindy Logan, because she, two people that had answered prayer that she knew. That she even put it on Facebook. If you want a prayer and you want God to hear it, send it to Beacon of Hope Ministry.
That's right, she did.
And
yeah.
they will send it to the throne. And you know, that is she's been through a lot. A lot of people have been through trials and tribulations this year, but they still have the faith to say God is still in control. God answers prayer, and that is a blessing in itself. To be able to have someone who's seen those prayers answered in their own life.
Yes.
As have us. And, you know, God is so good. God is a good, good
Amen.
Father.
Amen. Amen.
And he loves each and every one of us the same. I can't emphasize that enough.
Right. Absolutely true. And this new series is entitled Promised Land, and we're just finishing up Moses' involvement with the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 31. And here is what he said to Joshua in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 31. Moses summoned Joshua because Joshua was going to be his successor. He had been his right-hand man, and some people call him a love slave. He was devoted to Moses in the ministry. And Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him, with all of Israel watching, be strong, take courage. Strong, take courage. You will enter the land with this people, this land that God promised their ancestors that he'd give them. You will make them the proud possessors of it. God is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. Don't be intimidated. Don't worry. We're going over to Joshua chapter 1. If you're just now joining us, listen to this crazy, wonderful song. I love this. Soul on Fire by the group Third Day. Love it.
I'm on fire. to you, yeah. And Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your way.
Let's start this new year as souls on fire, because that is what God wants us to be. Souls on fire for Him, wanting to be all He wants us to be. We're in Joshua chapter 1, and Joshua was commanded by the Lord to be the successor of Moses, to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua was probably the great-grandson of Joseph, who was one of the patriarchs, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, because he came from the tribe of Ephraim, and they feel like that's where he was from. Joshua was a leader. His name meant Jehovah is our salvation, the same as Jesus' name meant the same. Jesus, we talked about this in the last few weeks here as we studied the nativity of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, that his name, he was named by the angel Jesus, and in Greek it meant salvation. Jehovah's our salvation, same as Joshua's name means. And his name meant deliverance, safety, salvation, helper, prosperer. That's what Jesus' name means. That's what Joshua's name meant. And so you see, Joshua is a type of Jesus in that he is the one who is going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses' job was finished. Joshua now takes up the reins. Just as Jesus is the one who provides salvation for us, deliverance for us, healing for our wounded emotions and our hurts and all of that. He's our helper. That's one of the names. That's one of the meanings of his name. Joshua is all of that. He was strong in the Lord. Joshua was a powerhouse. He had sat under the teaching of Moses. He had been right there at Moses' right hand. He was destined to be the one, as Jesus was destined as the Son of God, to be the one that was the propitiation, they say that word in the New Testament, for our sin. He was the one that God the Father sent to carry out salvation. Joshua is the one that God prepared alongside Moses to carry the children of Israel into the promised land. It's through Jesus that we have salvation. It was through Joshua that the children of Israel entered their promised land and were given the land that they still fight over now, the Palestinians, with the Israelites. But that is what God designed from the beginning. So Joshua was told by God in verse 1 or 2, after Moses died, that Moses was dead. And he told Joshua, cross the Jordan River, all the people. Jordan River is a type of death and burial. It's a type of baptism. When we're baptized in water, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, same river, okay? And so the Jordan River signifies going down as the old, coming up as the new, right? And so he said, you're going to cross this Jordan River, and you and all the people, and you're going to cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. We did a song this morning at Beacon called Yes and Amen, and it's all the promises of God are yes and amen. Betty talked to us about this and how this applies to us when we put our feet on situations in our lives and we say, this thing is not going to control me anymore. I am taking my promised land in this area of my life. I'm not going to worry about this problem anymore. I'm giving it to God. I'm moving into my promised land of promise. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, that's where we take a stand, and that's where we, that's where the devil hates us the most, is when we finally realize, okay, God, you're in control of this situation. I'm giving it to you, and I am not going to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm going to be courageous. I am going to not only survive, but what Dr. Angel said, you know, at the beginning, is we can thrive once we realize who we are in Christ and how we can propel ourselves into much greater blessings once we let go of all of the junk.
Amen. Amen. That's the whole goal, though.
So, you know, that's where blessing upon blessing comes, is once we realize that, you know, the devil is not going to control us, that we are not going to be pawns for him anymore, that we are going to be children of the King. We're going to walk in stature. We're going to walk boldly through this life that we call, you know, that we have here on earth, and we are going to stand and be proud and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time, people, that we get out of the slump that we're in. It's time that
Amen.
We receive the joy that God
yes.
wants to give us.
Yes.
It's time. It is time for us to step out in faith and say, just like what we said a little few minutes ago, God, what do you want me to do?
Right.
And it's that simple. I mean, if you had done that many years ago, back probably during Joshua's time, where you said, you know, you didn't want to be a pastor, but guess what you are? You're a pastor. And Dr. Angel set goals for herself, and she said, I'm going to do this, and she didn't let anything stop her. I'm sure there were mountains that she had to overcome, but
right.
she is a mountain mover. You're a mountain mover.
People, so are you.
Christ, we can move mountains.
We can.
And we have to be able to have the faith, the gumption, and the fortitude to say, okay, I'm going to finish this race. and I'm pretty competitive, and I'm going to say yes, because I say yes to God,
yes.
no to Satan. You're not going to control me.
Amen.
I'm putting my stake down. I'm standing on it, and
right.
I am believing.
Woo!
And you have to have...
That's exactly right.
It doesn't take much. It doesn't... Well, I don't have that kind of faith. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. You have to convince yourself that you can. And when you say you can, he will.
That's exactly right. Boy, we can quote you on that. And it's, you know, faith... faith grows by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you got to get into it. And in Joshua 1:8, God tells Joshua, you got to meditate on the Word. You can't let go of it. You got to hang in there. Talk to us, Angel.
Wow. I think we're having church here today.
We are.
This has
it's
been
good
really
stuff.
Great.
Great
but,
show.
You know, one of the things I think people get lost into is, you know, yes, God has a promised land. God has given us all these promises. But I think sometimes people just expect God to be kind of like the Santa Claus or the magic fairy, and that he's just going to take care of it. And sometimes God just totally takes care of it. But sometimes he expects us to do things. And part of getting to where he's trying to get us to go. Just like we're going to find out with Joshua, you know, yes, God has given them the promised land, but that did not come without them having a part in what God commanded them
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. And that's why he continually told them and told Moses, you got to be strong and courageous. You know, you're not going to be a wimp and just sit back and let the enemy walk all over you. You have a part in your blessing. Go on with that thought, Angel, because I think that is a huge point here. Betty was right on with all this. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times what people are expecting God to be the Santa Claus and just, I don't have to do anything. You know, God promised this is going to happen, and they want to continue doing what they want to do. But God has called us to be strong, to be courageous, to sit in his word, to do things to get where he's trying to get us to go. Most of the times, God's promised land moments for us are not just done, you know, God alone without something from
it's
us.
Well, Joshua had to lead the people of Israel into the promised land, and they had to fight battles.
And they had to fight.
They had to fight battles, and we're going to be talking about this.
Do people say, oh, well, something's difficult. Oh, God, must not have really been
because,
God.
No.
There's a struggle. The absence of struggle does not mean, you know, having a struggle does not mean God's not a part of it.
That's exactly right. And so often, you're right, people cower when they don't want to work at it. They don't want to, you know, I'm in a crusade to lose some weight, and I've been working on it, and I've been working on it several weeks, and I'm just taking it slow and going easy, but I'm doing it every day. I'm working on it, okay? Every day I've made choices. Every day that I pass by McDonald's and don't buy 3 chocolate chip cookies, Betty, every day that I pass by and don't do that.
I almost brought you cookies today. I didn't know.
Yeah. I'm 11 pounds into this thing. I'm going for more, but you know what? It takes me making an effort. Betty, you understand what I'm saying, right? About all the chocolate chip cookies that you and I have consumed in the years past.
Well, you know, it doesn't mean that we can't maybe stop once.
Right. You're coming to visit, so I think that rule will bend a little when you come, right? We might even include Angel in our McDonald's chocolate chip run, you know?
Okay.
Yes, please.
We might.
You got a deal, girl. You got a deal.
But the point is excellent that we have to. Joshua was not said, okay, you know, Joshua, you know, you just have to knock on their doors and tell them that it's your territory, and you know, they'll leave. And it doesn't work like that.
No.
And the devil, when he's pounding us in the head and in the mind and in our finances and in relationships and difficulties, does not take no for an answer. You just say, oh, get away, please. No. I got to tell you about my squirrel real quick, because this is so pertains right here. For the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been battling a squirrel or squirrels, not sure, right over my bedroom, in the corner of my bedroom, okay, in the attic. And so we finally got tough enough to get a, you know, me yelling up there, please leave, squirrel, please leave, did not do the trick. I don't know why. I'd stand in my bedroom in that corner above the crate. You both know where that is. And I would say, please, squirrel, leave me, because you wake me up in the night with all of your trying to dig through the ceiling. Well, it so happened that he dug through the ceiling and put a quarter size hole in my ceiling, at which point the next day Creepy Creatures was called. And now we've been on a campaign for the last 3 weeks. And I haven't heard any squirrel activity for the last 6 or 7 days. But this took a tremendous effort. It took sealing up a lot of little holes. It took sealing them up with metal, not with screen wire. It took all kinds of setting traps, doing everything we can. Yet I still have a hole in my ceiling that has black tape on it that reminds me of the battle I've been waging for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Now, Betty, you want to respond to that, and Angel, because this is a spiritual principle.
Well, it shows that you didn't give up.
No.
Did not give up because you
the dogs wouldn't let me give up. They would wake up in the night when the squirrel was the busiest and start to bark. Yes, no. Go ahead.
And they, you know, even though they're cute to watch, they are very destructive. And you have to realize that, you know, the fight that you put up could save hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things that you didn't want to replace if you had not have stopped it.
Yeah,
and
right.
The principle I'm trying to make here is that sometimes we have to fight for things that are going on in our life. And I don't mean physically. I mean Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in
and
heavenly places.
Squirrels.
And Rocky rats. I had the same thing with Rocky the rat.
Yes. Okay. So.
Oh, geez. Oh, my goodness. No. You're talking to the ASPCA here, so be kind, lady. The point I'm trying to make here, audience, is that Pastor put up a fight. And she didn't give up. Angel is putting up a fight in her own life. And she's not backing down. She's not, you know, Pastor's not backing down. There are things in your life that you should not be backing down to and bowing down to the enemy just because you think that you're not going to win that battle. the battles may take 10 days, they may take 10 years, they may take 100 years. We may not even see the fruition that comes from those prayers and through that fighting and through those trials and tribulations. But God is still on the scene. He's still working. He will not give up on you. He has never given up. He didn't give up on the children of Israel. He did not give up on Joshua. He did not give up on Moses. And throughout the entire Bible.
Amen, sister.
He keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. But the one thing we have to realize is that we have to stand and stand
yes,
firm.
Yes, we do.
And we have to stay, you know, in Ephesians 6, 10 through 16, is, you know, we've got to put on the full armor of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
So that when the day of evil comes, we'll be able to stand and stand firm.
Amen.
And those days are here, people.
They
Whether
are.
You realize it or not, they're here.
Yeah.
And Satan's going to do everything he can in 2000, and he did in 2018. Do not let him continue in 2019 to rule and to have a hold on in your life. Take control of your life. Give it to God and let God fight that battle for you. You may be tired. You may be inconsolable at this time. Let God rest in the arms of Almighty God and let him fight that battle
Amen.
For you.
Amen. Amen. Well said, Betty Lou Thomas. And, you know, Angel, she mentioned the chemo and everything you've been going through and battling this for the last several months. At any given day, because I saw you at least once or twice a week, you could have said, you know what, I'm just done with the chemo. I am just not going to do it. But you submitted to the medical treatment that they prescribed for your body. And you went through it regardless of how awful those days were. You were fighting. It's like
fighting.
I was fighting squirrels. You were fighting
yes,
disease I was process in your body, right?
I was fighting. And there was moments where I didn't know if I was breathing or not. All I could do was put one praise music on and listen to it on loop all night long. I would. And it's funny because I'm in the process of transitioning jobs, and a lot of people have written me letters because I'm leaving, and I've been there for a while. And I never realized how many people were watching me in my battle and
wow.
said, and you smiled every day.
Praise
and you had
God.
Such a, your spirit
yes.
and this. And
yes.
I was just fighting a battle. And how many people my life influenced that I had no idea. And now
Praise
I'm getting
God.
These letters, and it's just, oh my goodness, you just, we have to fight. You
we
don't
have
know
to
who's
fight.
Watching you fight.
Yes, we have to fight. That's why God commanded Moses and Joshua, both of them together, seven times, be strong and courageous. Go fight this battle. Listen to this song. We will embrace your move because that's what we have to do.
We recognize that you're moving among the earth.
This is a 7-minute song, so I'm going to cut it off after 2 or 3 minutes. I just want to give the so y'all get the message here. Make it your declaration.
Your love. Oh, we will embrace, we will embrace.
that song goes on and on and on, but I think you have the idea right there. Betty, we got to embrace what God is doing in our lives, the new promised land that he wants to take us into, letting go of the past and not living 2019 the same way we lived 2018. Talk to us, Betty, and I know you got to get off here in a minute and go to church, so tell me when you got to go. So go ahead.
Okay, shortly right after this. One of the things that we have to do is we have to embrace change. We have to embrace what God has for us, even though we think that in our own mind and in the natural, that that's not what I want. It's sometimes we have to say, okay, God, it's what you want. We have to be able to embrace what he has for us, because his plans are much greater. His road is much smoother than the road that we can take. It may take time. It may take effort. But, people, it's time for us to get off of our laurels and say, okay, God, I'm ready. Send me. Whatever you want me to do, if you want me to clean commodes, that's fine. If you want me to preach to the people on the corner, you want me to help the homeless, it's time to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. It's an old song. And that's what we have to do. We have to be willing to be the vessels that God had created us to be. And it's to be movers. It's to be shakers. It's to let's shake the kingdom of God for 2019.
And amen, say, amen.
You know, let's bring as many of the sheep in that we possibly can. Let's help this get behind our pastors and say, okay, what do you need me to do? Do you need, you know, I pray for you every day. What else is it you need me to do? Or ask God, say, God, what is it you want me to do today? Even and get into the word. You know, January 1 could become a time of prayer and fasting for some of us who are saying, okay, God, I don't know where I'm going, don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to let you lead me this year.
Yes.
I'm going to let you lead my life. I'm going to let you be the person that says yes and no. And I will stand wherever you want me to stand and be the person that you've created me to be.
Amen. Amen. Because we are taking this promised land. You know, we're not
Amen.
Going to make
Amen.
The same mistakes of the past. We're going to move into this new day. Betty Thomas, we love you with all our heart. And I just checked the schedule that's in my Bible. And you were going to be on February 10th anyway with Megan. So that'll be great. You'll be right here in the studio. So,
Awesome. I am elated. I am just beyond words. I have no vocabulary words.
We're so glad you're coming down.
I cannot wait.
We're going to keep you busy. You're going to have quality time with Angel and me and the rest of us and Nan. And
very much looking forward to your visit.
Sounds like a plan. I plan on giving you a hug.
Yep, there you go. You can do that. So thank you, Betty Thomas. Go to church.
You're welcome, love.
God bless you. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
We'll see you soon.
You're welcome.
Literally, we'll see you soon.
Literally, you will see this person.
All right. God bless you.
Love you both.
Love
Bye.
You.
You too. Bye. So talk to us, Angel, because this is hard for a lot of people to understand how a chapter that was written 1,300 years before, 1,300 B.C. is the date of this, all that we're talking about today. And then you go to add 2,000 years on top of that. So we're 3,300 years since this happened, but it is still relevant to us today. Talk to us.
Because the Word of God is living and active. You know, God was, is, and is to come. God does not change. He is the same God, the same nature that he was 2,000, 5,000, 8,000 years before Christ, to all the way to the year 2000 after. He doesn't change. And that is how his character and who he is revealed to us, is through who he is. And the more we get to see that character, the more
Amen.
We can put our trust, the more it does build our faith, the more we get closer to him.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the more he'll take our hearts of stone and put a
yes.
new spirit within us. It's one of my favorite verses in Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, yeah.
Yes. And
talk about that, because that's so important.
It is, because, you know, I think a lot of us have that. We do. We have that stone heart, especially when we don't, you know, we haven't given God our heart. We don't have that heart of God that's living and dwelling inside of us. And he will give us this heart that is unbelievable. And I can remember I remember that heart feeling when that heart changed, that moment. I thought, you know, I went to church and I knew scriptures and I could quote books of the Bible. I was in Bible quiz, by the way. I could quote you Galatians and Ephesians from cover to cover, but I didn't have that heart experience till a little bit later. And the moment it happened.
Wow, that's interesting, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Sat in church for many, many years and knew it, but it didn't hit that heart. And the moment it hit that heart, it was a heart of flesh. Like, it just, my compassion for God, my care for people, my desire to know him is like a hunger that just is a fire that's never been quenched.
Woo!
Within me.
That's like the Soul on Fire song we just did.
And it just never been, you know,
did
it's
you
so
have to
alive.
Get to a place in your life where you realized you needed that heart change?
Oh, absolutely. That was a surrender. And it was a hard place for me. And I think because sometimes, you know, being a little smart is a good thing. But for me, it was kind of got in my way because I was very independent and felt like, well, I can take care of anything I need to take care of. And,
right.
You know, it took a lot for me to humble me and get me out of the way.
Sure.
And lay it down on the altar.
And I think that's the truth for a lot of people, that we become pretty self-sufficient, you know, especially if we live alone, or especially if we're, you know, always supporting ourselves. Mm-hmm. And not relying on a spouse or somebody to support us.
Well, you know, and for me, it was just living a life of people who were supposed to take care of me that didn't. So I had to learn to take care of myself. So how are you going to tell me this God that I haven't seen is going to take care of me when people who birthed me couldn't do it? You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it took a lot to get to that I got to trust him thing. But I got there. Thank God I got there, because it has been such a journey. I would have made this year without it. I will tell you, I would not have made this
year. Amplify on that, because this, what the scripture does on our shows here is to take these stories and put it in our practical life, right?
Yes.
That's the goal of this show every single week. It is not just to give you a history lesson. It is to apply these truths and how they affect our daily lives. So talk to us, Angel. Talk to us.
Well, actually, the story we're walking into has been so profound for me in my life, because, you know, when they go and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, I'm sorry.
That's
but
all right.
When they take the promised land,
yes.
You know, it's one battle and then another. But God didn't just say, here's the promised land, have it all. And
you're right.
Because he had to do something in them each time. Were to get a new piece of what God had for them. And that's what was for me as I walked with God. It was a new step instead of all of, you know, oh, here you go, you know, have all of me. It was, I learned a new faith thing. I learned to trust them with my finances. I learned to trust them with my kids.
Yes.
I learned to trust them, you know, with different things.
Yes.
Each new situation. And, you know, and it was little by little, because if he would have gave it to me all at once, I would have been back in a pit where I was before. I wouldn't have grown that strength and maturity I needed.
So you're saying that Romans 8:28 is true, that, and we know it. I love the way that verse starts. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So the trials, the problems are actually gifts. And we teach this concept a lot on the air. Problems are a gift to you. And it's hard to get to really receive that sometimes when we're going through hard times. But problems are a gift to you to grow you into what God has for you so that you become more like him. Do you want to address all that?
Absolutely. You know, that, you know, James talks about it too. You know, there's talked about many times in the Bible, you know, count it joy when you know. I'm like, yeah, right. This is not joy. Hello. But it is, because after I've had a few of those experiences and I could watch how God grew me and matured me, or I have a deeper level of my relationship with him, okay, we're going through a trial. This is a new opportunity. This year has been a huge growth opportunity for me. And like I said earlier, there were moments all I could do was listen to one praise song all night long on loop, but I did. And he sustained me step by step. When I felt like telling the doctors, that's it, I'm done. I don't want nothing else. I'm ending treatment. I'm done. I didn't. He kept me going step by step by step by step, and we're still stepping it, and I'm not all the way through everything yet, but step by step.
Ooh, we got to do this song right here, and we're going to talk to Angel Moore about all this and how Joshua chapter 1 applies to each of us. Be strong and courageous, Lord, I need you.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. In Joshua chapter 1 and in Deuteronomy 31 to Moses, we find that God says 7 times, be strong and courageous. And then he also says something else 7 times, I'll always be with you. One Bible scholar has said that that phrase, I will always be with you, or I will never leave you or forsake you, that whole concept is in the Bible 365 times. I don't remember who it was, Kenneth Copeland or Marilyn Hickey, one of the scholars, the teachers that I learned under a lot years back, said this and researched it. But Angel, what does that do for us? What is, Lord, I need you, right?
I do. And the fact that he knows we need that reassurance that he's not going to leave us, that
right.
He's right there. He knows he made us. He gets it. You know, we're human. And we get insecure easy, and all you have to do is pick it up. He promises us.
Yes. This last week, I've been blessed to have my youngest son, Mark, and his wife, Candy, and baby Joel, who's 17 months old, visiting me, and for a few more days. And it is such a joy to be around a 17-month-old again. And you had an experience with him today. But Angel, when we see kids like that, they need their mommy and they need their daddy.
Oh, yeah.
They even need their Nana. When I left come to radio, he was having a hard time because Nana was leaving. And that's a good feeling. We want to be needed, right?
Yes.
Same with God. He wants us to need him. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, he's our father. He's a good, good father. And, you know, everything he has for us, it's for our good. It may not always look like it, just like, you know, when we're raising our kids, we had to use the word no, or we had to take them from something they want because it was dangerous, it was going to hurt them, because we were looking out for their good, you know. And he does the same thing for us. He really knows what's best for us way more than we do. We just that human factor gets in the way sometimes.
It does. And I think that when he tells Joshua, and he first tells Moses, and then Moses gets Joshua, and I mean, seven times, that's God's number, right? And seven times the thing that they are told is be strong and be courageous, okay? And in the original translation of the word strong, it means this, and I love this. This is so, so very, I mean, timely for every one of us. Strong means in the Hebrew to take hold of it. Don't let go of. Hang in there and be stubborn. That's what it is to be strong. Be stubborn. Take the land is what they were saying. God was saying to Joshua and to Moses, take the land. Be strong. Take hold of this thing. Don't let go of it. Hang in there. Be stubborn. Talk to me about being strong, Angel.
I love that it includes being stubborn.
Being stubborn.
I get that concept very well. I'm very, very thick-skulled. And, you know, sometimes some of the things that I've succeeded in life just personally is probably because I've been so stubborn. I wasn't willing to let go no matter what the circumstances looked like around that. I put my mind on something and I wasn't letting go.
Right.
That's being stubborn. And that's what God wants is when he gives us a sight or a vision or something for us to go for, you hang on don't let go. No matter what happens, financial thing, what relationship
doesn't matter.
What people are saying about you, what people are thinking.
No.
Don't let go.
Don't let go. That's being strong. We think of strength as being maybe emotionally strong or physically strong. That's true, too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to just... one of my grandfathers at age whatever, it was around 80 or maybe late 70s, he retired from work, I think at 65, and he just sat in his recliner and watched ball games. Very seldom could they get him even out to go take a walk. And as it turned, and smoking cigars, just sitting, this was years and years ago. This is what he did from the time he retired. He had been a hard worker all his life, but he sat down in his recliner and began to smoke his cigars. He died of lung cancer in his early 80s. But he never, ever stayed the course towards health and being active, right? And we can do this same thing emotionally, can't we? And spiritually. You want to talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think a lot of us do, because that type of strength, that stubborn kind of strength, that takes some perseverance. That takes, you know, a lot of times we care what people are thinking about us, what they're saying about us. We care how we appear to them. We're going to be realists, you know. Forget that. With God, it's not about realists. It's not about how it looks today. It's about what he promises.
Exactly.
And every one of his promises come true. So when he says, here you go, here's your direction, you take, you know, you set your GPS and you go.
And you go towards it.
If the traffic is stopping you.
That's such a good example. A couple days ago, I had to go someplace, new clients, and I didn't know where this place was. So I put it in my GPS. But in my head, I had an idea of where I thought it was. And so halfway there, I thought, this is wrong. GPS is wrong. Because I know, and it was dark. It was late at night. Not late, but it was early evening, and we get dark here early right now. And so I'm headed to their house, and it was like, nope, this is wrong. So I pulled off, and I put it in again. And it was right, and I was wrong. And
yeah,
and 5 minutes later, I ended up at their house, at their door. Okay, but so often we don't trust God's leading. We are thinking, like I did Friday night, thinking we know where we're going, even though we've got it in the GPS, and I did, and I didn't trust the GPS because it didn't seem right to me.
You know, and we do that with God all the time. It's so easy to do that. And the GPS is a good analogy because we're all using them these days. And you're right. Sometimes we're like, oh, wait, no. This is a shortcut. This will get me there 10 minutes quicker. And then you find you're in the middle of nowhere, and you're like, oh, boy, what did I just do? Because that's that human nature in us. And to yield that human nature is so hard. You have to work at it.
It's hard. It's hard to give it up. And here, God is saying to Joshua, be strong, okay? That means you're going to be hanging in there no matter what's coming at you. And it also means, Joshua, you're going to be stubborn. You're going to be stubborn to do what God wants. And the courageous part, and we'll talk more about these next week. Courageous means this. I love this in the Hebrew. Be on your feet, observant, alert, ready to move, ready to act with clear-cut direction. Talk to me about being courageous.
Well, being courageous is all about being ready. And when you think of that, you know, we're not sitting, you know, we're not ready if we're, you know, laying on the couch binging on Netflix for 12 hours, or we're like, oh, it's going to happen. No, being ready means I'm ready for whatever I need to do whenever I need to do it. It's being completely ready and willing, not just ready, but
be on the
willing.
Alert. Be on right. the alert, observant. Talk to me about that.
You know, watching for when you're given direction, or for when that time or when that window or that door opens, and taking it and moving through it and not questioning it, not, you know, being willing to make those steps. And so many people, you know, it's funny, we talk about in the psychological world, the amount of people who they are afraid of success is a huge fear. It's as big as the fear as failure. And so being successful, getting on that other end, is a huge fear for people that they won't take those steps to go where God is directing them to go, and then they're crying that they're miserable.
Oh, this is so good. We're going to have to go on with this next week, but listen to this song, Give Me Jesus. Ooh. One of my favorites.
Oh, that's a good one.
And it so applies, doesn't
yes.
it? Danny Gokey. Gotta have Jesus if you're going to make this journey successful.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, oh. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me all I need. Oh, it's all I need. Won't you give me Jesus?
going to pick that up again in just a couple minutes. Angel, talk to us. Why is it we need Jesus so much in our lives?
We can't really do this life without him.
We really can't, can we?
We were created by, you know, God created us for him, for himself, and he gave us a free will, and he wants us to surrender our will back to him.
He really does. And you know, so often we struggle with that because we're just creatures of habit. We're creatures of doing my own thing. And we're rebellious in so many ways. Don't you think? That's what caused the children of Israel to walk around the same mountain for 40 years when it was a 13-day journey.
Oh, yes. We can get very rebellious. We think we know better. We think we know more. We're independent. Like, those things, that's part of free will. But we're not. We're not living. Are you living, you know, content? Are you living in peace? Are you living in joy?
Yes.
Are you living in gratitude? Because if you're not, you need Jesus, because that's the only way you're going to get there.
That's exactly right.
This world tries to offer, you know, pseudo-psychology, you know, being a psychologist, you know, I have my Christian faith and everything I do is founded in my faith, but I see, you know, the secular part of treatment.
Yes.
And they promise, you know, gratitude this and, you know, do this and you're going to feel more happiness and contentment. It's empty. It's
right.
Empty because it doesn't have.
Doesn't have Jesus.
The creator of
it
the happiness.
It doesn't have the creator. And so many people get stuck on their little, and as we cross into this new year, resolutions, you know, or I'm going to work out or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And all those things are good. But the greatest thing you can do is spend time in God's word. The greatest thing you can do is become like Jesus. Give me Jesus. That's what we need, Dr. Angel.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time, whatever. You know what? Get on Audible. They have the Bible the Bible on audio. Everyone's driving somewhere. Stick it on and listen to it while you drive. Just let it get
Amen.
Inside of you because
yes.
It will change you. You will grow. You will find that contentment. You will find that peace. You will find those things you're looking for in a lot of places that can't give it.
Absolutely. And so we would say to you, audience, as we start a new year, as we let go of the past, let's do that. Let's let go of this past. The things that have drug you down, the things that have discouraged you, the things that have made you just some days not feel like even going on, perhaps. Those things, don't let them have power over you in this new year. Angel, we talk so much on our Thursday night show about where do we give our power to, right?
Exactly.
Talk about that.
You know, and a lot of times we are giving away power that we have the power to make our lives different today. We have the power to accept Christ. We have the power to walk in his truth and his promises and figure this thing out with him. We have that power.
Yeah.
But we give it away and then we complain because our lives are miserable and we're depressed and we're anxious. And
exactly. We give it away to those things, right?
Yes. Yeah. And we sit and feed those things because we're calling everybody. We're posting. I mean, I was scrolling through Facebook before the show and the amount of people are like airing out their depressions and their anxieties all over social media.
It's ridiculous.
Because they need someone to be like, oh, that's really bad.
Oh,
I feel
you
bad.
Poor
you
thing.
Know,
you
stop
know,
feeding
stop.
The
stop.
Negative.
Right.
Let's feed what the life changer is, the remedy. And that's Jesus. That's only Jesus.
That's
nothing
it.
Else.
Joshua is a type of Jesus. And he had to be strong. Jesus had to be strong and courageous when he came to this earth to carry out his mission. Joshua had to be strong and courageous. And God's word to us today is be strong and courageous. Be observant. Be on your feet, ready to take action. Don't be stubborn with your strength. I'm going to get stronger this year in God. I'm going to know the word stronger than I've ever known it. I'm going to walk in the word. I mean, those kinds of resolutions are amazing, and they'll change your life.
They absolutely will. And you know what? Get stubborn. That it's a good. Be stubborn for where God is calling
you. Yes.
You know, we're stubborn for the wrong things and the problems. We got to stop being stubborn and hanging on to the junk that's just making us miserable.
Oh, I know.
And get stubborn for where God's bringing you.
Absolutely. And because so often we're creatures of habit, so often we get into March of a new year and we go, oh, I haven't made any changes yet. Oh, well. Right?
Oh, yes, we do. You gave them till March. I'm impressed. Usually they give up by the end of January.
By the end of January? Okay. because it's so easy to just. But here, this song, Give Me Jesus, in the morning when I rise. God, here's my day. What do you want for me today? What can I do for your kingdom? What do you have planned for me? I'm going to submit to your lordship in my life today. Give me Jesus today in a greater measure. Talk to us, angel.
And that's it. You know what? The world can't offer us. The world thinks it can offer us, but it can't offer us anything.
It cannot.
The only one that's got what we need is
right.
Jesus.
Yes. Final thought?
Final thought. I just challenge our listeners to make this year the year you get stubborn for Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Angel. You're a blessing. Such a blessing. God bless you, and we'll see you Thursday night for our next show.
Yes.
6:06 p.m. Thanks to Betty Thomas, also up in Michigan. You know, when I'm alone, give me Jesus, because I need you, Lord. Let that be your prayer today. Just tell him right now, wherever you are, I need you, God. I need you more than I've ever needed you before. Lord, I can't do this life without you. I need you, God. I need you.
Give me Jesus.
Let's listen to this a little bit more.
Give me Jesus. When I come to die, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus.
That's our parting word to you today. As you start a new year and let go of the past, give me Jesus. You can find this song. It's by Danny Gokey, and it'll bless you and change your life. We're a ministry that is teaching the Word of God week after week. We're glad you've joined us today. On behalf of Dr. Angel Falzone, Betty Thomas, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, Beacon of Hope Ministries, Clearwater, Florida. We'll see you next week.
Won't you give me Jesus?
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.